chapter number 85. It is a wonderful joy and blessing. Be back at the Great Bible Baptist Church here in Byesville, Ohio. I was thinking as I was traveling yesterday from our home in the real Canton, that's in Michigan, to Byesville, Ohio, how long I've been coming here. My goodness, I've been coming here forever. And the first time that I had the privilege of preaching for Dr. Leithley was for his son's ordination. And I've been coming ever since. And if I'm not mistaken, your son gave you a set of preaching tapes. I think it might have been my 10th anniversary in evangelism. And they put together a special, it's going to date me, set of tapes. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. There was a day when preaching was not on a stick or a disc, but it was on tape. Now, I don't go back to when preaching was on tablets. That's Moses' day. But I do go back to when they were on tape. And Dr. Leithley's son gave him a set of preaching tapes, and I preached the ordination, and they invited me for a revival meeting, and I've been coming on a regular basis ever since. And I'll be quick to tell you that Dr. and Mrs. Leithley and the Leithley family and the church family of the Bible Baptist Church are some of my favorite people. I'll say more about the meeting in the next service, but you won't want to miss a single service. I like this time of the year. I know that many of us are feeling the effects of losing an hour sleep, but I think it's important that when we spring ahead, we step ahead as well. And so thank you for being here in the Sunday School Hour. Psalm chapter 85. I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, which will serve as a springboard for the thought that I want to try to give to you this morning. I always enjoy speaking in a revival meeting in the Sunday School Hour because, Dr. Leithley, it gives me another shot to lay a foundation, to there state the case, to get us off on the right foot in regards to revival. Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want you to focus, and I've underlined it in my Bible, and you may want to underscore it in yours, that word revive. R-E-V-I-V-E, revive. And for a few moments in the Sunday School Hour, I want to speak on the subject, let's revive in 2025. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to stand before a group of people with an open Bible to teach the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be our Sunday school teacher, that you would give us spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and hearts that would be spiritual enough to respond to the good Word of God. Lord, may the foundation for these days be laid in this beginning service, this Genesis service, this inaugural service of this week-long revival meeting. And Lord, if you'll do that, we'll be very careful, we'll be very cautious to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. There's not one believer on planet Earth, but what could both eyewitness and experience Bible revival. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but that thrills my heart, that we have the promise of revival, that we have the prospect of revival, and that there's not one single believer, not one, on planet Earth, but what could their eyewitness and experience Bible revival. In the book of Psalms, chapter 85, we find God's past mercies. Now, what I appreciate about God's past mercies is if God has given me mercy in the past, and whether you've been saved days or decades, He has, God's given us past mercies, then He can give us present mercies, and He can give us yet future mercies. Now, the amazing thing about future mercies is right now we're enjoying, we're experiencing present mercies. And it was past mercies that have brought us to present mercies. And before you know it, today will turn into tomorrow, and we will there have the blessing, the benefit of future mercies. That's what Psalm 85 is all about, the mercies of God. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: restoration, verses 1 through 3. Revival, verses 4 through 7. And then responsibility, verses 8 through 13. It is while the sons of Korah are dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with revival that a person sees their prayer and plea for an old-fashioned, prevailing spiritual awakening. Look at it, verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" This verse makes it clear that reviving and rejoicing are Siamese twins. Whenever you have reviving, you're going to have rejoicing. And whenever you have rejoicing, you're going to have reviving. They go together like, I don't know, Joe Biden and a crooked election. I might as well just say that right off the starting block, and makes me feel good and gives some of you a tummy ache. That's all right. So here we have, in this verse, the connecting, their coupling of rejoicing, reviving, reviving, and rejoicing. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved, should want to see revival this year. Now, not just another meeting, and not just another series of services, but we should long and we should love to see biblical revival. It's one of my heroes, Dr. Sammy Allen, who said in my hearing once, revival for survival. And I believe if the Christian is going to survive in this day, and if the church is going to survive in this day, and if, yes, the country is going to survive in this day, well, it starts with me, it starts with you, it starts with us having a Bible revival. Now, I asked you to, in your Bible, underscore that word revive. Because what I want to do is I want to take that word revive and use the six letters of that word as an acrostic that will lead the believer to biblical revival. Let's revive in 2025. Number one, R, realize. Judges 16:20, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Why, in that word revive, taking that first letter, that word R, we need to make it stand for realize. In Judges chapter 16, we read the very familiar story of Samson, that mighty man of God. Samson had made a Nazarite vow, and in that Nazarite vow, there are a couple things that he was forbidden to do. He's forbidden to drink. He was forbidden to be around a corpse or touch a corpse, and he was forbidden to get a haircut. Well, if you know your Bible, you know that Samson broke that vow, the Nazarite vow, and he had Delilah, in telling her the secret of his power, shave off his locks, shave his head, get a haircut, and he lost his power. Now, what's interesting to me is that when Delilah contacted, let the Philistines know, called in the Philistines, that Samson thought, all right, well, here they come. I've beat them before, and I can beat them again. And the Bible says that, as at other times, he said, I'll shake myself. But he didn't know that he'd lost that strength, that spiritual strength that he once had because of his obedience in that Nazarite vow. It's interesting to me that it was one act of disobedience that had drained the power from Samson. Samson saints are the curse of the church in this hour. We have Samson saints in the choir. We have Samson saints in the Sunday school. We have Samson saints that take the offering, that are ushers. We have Samson saints that go out and run a bus route. We have Samson saints that, play a church instrument. They work in the sound booth. They sit on the platform. We've got Samson saints that even preach the Bible. And it's one act of disobedience that will there cause us to lose that spiritual might that we once had. Well, we think that backsliding is a number of sins. We think backsliding is a blowout, but backsliding really is just a slow leak. And this one sin, oh my, of disobedience cost Samson that might, that power, that strength that he once had. So we need to look at our lives. We need to examine our hearts. We need to see if there's one act of disobedience, not 100 acts, not 50 acts, not 20 acts, but one single act of disobedience that has caused us to think, well, I'll just go ahead and lead singing. I'll just go ahead and preach. I'll just go ahead and play a church instrument. I'll just go ahead and work a bus route. But we lose that spiritual might that we once had. I think the tragedy of this narrative, Dr. Leithley, is that others knew before Samson knew that he lost that strength that he had. So one needs to stand that letter R for the word realize. Number two, E, energize. Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. By taking that word revive and having each letter stand for something that will lead us as believers to biblical revival, then number two, that letter E has to stand for energize. That's a spiritual touch. That is a spiritual fullness. That is a spiritual wherewithal that gives us that energy, that gives us that enthusiasm, that gives us that excitement to be used of God. Now, leaving a Bible marker in Psalm 85, I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Because in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, we find several musts, M-U-S-T-S, musts for the saint to have supernatural power. And I'll be quick to tell you that that's what I want. I want supernatural power. And the interesting thing about supernatural power is you may have had it yesterday, but that doesn't mean that you have it today. And you may have had it last week, but that doesn't mean that you have it this week. You may have had it last month. And I'm thankful if we had it last month and yesterday and last week, but I'll be quick to tell you that I need it today. I need it this week. I need it this month. And so there's some musts that the saint has to see to have supernatural power, and they're seen in there in Luke chapter 4. First of all, there's the wilderness. Verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if we're going to have that energy, that fullness of the Spirit, if we're going to have that unction from above, then there has to be, at some point and some place, the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is where we go. The wilderness is where we get alone with God. The wilderness is where God gets alone with us. We live in a day and hour where coffee shops like to advertise that you can get internet access, and stores like to advertise they have internet access, and places of business like to advertise they have internet access. I don't know, Dr. Lethley, if in verse 1 there's internet access there or not, but I know there's God access. And I know there's power access. And I know there's heaven access. And we need that more than we need internet access in our Christian life. And so a must for the saint to have supernatural power, there is, first of all, the wilderness. Everyone that is used of God on the pages of the Bible had a wilderness experience, had a wilderness event where they got along with God and God got along with them. The wilderness. Secondly, there's the war. Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Verse 2. There's a war. Don't be mistaken when you say, I want the power of God and I want the touch of God. I want the fullness of God. Don't think that the devil's going to sit back and say, you go for it. Don't think the devil's going to sit back and say amen and attaboy cheer you on. That's not going to be the case. Dr. Lethley, I tell young preachers all the time in revival meetings, you can count on the devil fighting three times in the life of a church: before a revival meeting, during a revival meeting, after a revival meeting. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Man, I would hate to do something for God and not to have opposition, not to have the devil fighting, not to have resistance to what we want to do for God and good. And so a must for the believer to have supernatural power is the war. Don't quit when the battle's on. Don't throw in the towel in the fight. In fact, don't throw in the towel any time. Don't give up when you want a closer walk with God, when you want revival, when you want that supernatural power that gives us the cutting edge in serving God. Don't stop when you run into Satan and run into opposition. So there's the wilderness, there's the war, and then thirdly, a must for supernatural power, and I can't say too much about it, there's the Word. Look at it, verse number 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Look at it, verse number 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Look at it, verse number 12. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said. So when the war was on, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ went to the Word, and it is the Word of God that does the work of God. If we're going to have that fullness, if we're going to have that spiritual cutting edge, if we're going to have that might to live an effective Christian life, then you cannot take the Word out of the picture. You cannot take the Word out of its position in giving us the fullness of the Spirit. It is the Word of God that does the work of God, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God always, oh my, work in tandem. They always work together. That's why when you say to me, the Spirit led me to do this, and it's contrary to the Bible, well, Pinocchio, your nose is growing. When you tell me that God led you to do something and it's clearly in opposition to the Bible, the Word of God works and the Spirit of God works, they both work in tandem. And so the letter E has to stand for energize. The must for the saint to have supernatural power, the wilderness, the war, and the word. Number three, the letter V would have to stand for visualize. Number three, the letter V in the word revive would have to stand for visualize. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Revival never comes to those who can't see it. Now, before we have revival, you have to see yourself having revival. Before we have a spiritual awakening, you have to see that spiritual awakening. There's another word for it. It's faith. We've got to believe that God can do it. We've got to believe that God will do it. We have to believe that on Friday night, if the Lord should stay is coming, that we'll be a better Christian on Friday night after the last message has been preached, the last invitation has been given. We close in prayer. Someone says amen. And these days will go into the annals of time, into the history book of eternity. We have to believe that we'll be closer to God at the end of the meeting than we were at the beginning of the meeting. Now, I literally, this is not enough lethally, you can testify, this is not a stretch of a statement. I live my life in meetings like this. Last week, I was in your state. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, in a revival meeting. The week before that, I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a revival meeting. Next week, I'll be in Orion, Michigan, in a Sword of the Lord conference on revival and soul winning. I spend my life in meetings like this. But here's what's going to shock you. Early this morning, I found a place in my motel room to get alone with God, and God got alone with me. And I said, now, Lord, these days I want revival for me. I want you to revive my heart. I want to be a better Christian at the end of the meeting than I was at the beginning of the meeting. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better grandfather. Yes, I'm a grandfather. Oh, yes. Four times I'm a grandfather. And I hope that you'll come by the book table sometime this week and ask to see pictures of our four grandchildren. There's Madison and Mason and Evan and Brooklyn. And I hope that you'll ask me, because through the years you have bored me with pictures of your grandchildren. And so now it's my turn to bore you with pictures of mine. Mark Twain was right when he said, grandchildren are the blessing you receive for not killing your children. They're awesome. But I want to be better in every area, in every aspect of my life, and I believe I can be. I believe the Lord can use these days and use these services, oh my, to draw all of us closer, but we have to visualize it. Number three, V, visualize. Number four, I, internalize. Now, in that word revive, back in Psalm 85, in verse number 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That letter, I, number 4, in the word revive, has to stand for internalize. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That letter I in the word revive, number 4, has to stand for internalize. Remember reading, not lately, years and years and years ago, about a dear elderly lady that when her church had revival meetings, she'd come and she'd always bring two things with her to the services. She would always bring her Bible with her. And then this dear elderly lady would always bring a garden rake. And she'd sit in the services with her Bible and her garden rake. And after Sunday morning seeing that, Sunday night seeing that, Monday night seeing that, Tuesday night, sure enough, she came to the revival meeting, had her Bible, had her garden rake, sat down, and just out of curiosity, the evangelist went to her and said, "Now, ma'am, I've seen since Sunday morning in every single service, you've sat in this revival meeting, and you've had your Bible, and you also have brought your garden rake." He said, "I'm sure there's a reason for that." And I remember reading that the elderly Christian lady said, "Oh, yes, sir, there is a reason, and the reason is this." She said, "When some people hear the preaching of the evangelist, they have a spiritual shovel with them. And they take everything that the evangelist preaches from the Bible and they shovel it over their shoulder to somebody else. But," she said, "I like to bring my garden rake to remind me that whatever the evangelist preaches from the Bible, I'm just going to rake into my own heart." And all God's sweet little children said. I told that a couple weeks ago in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And sure enough, Dr. Lethley, on Monday night, I got up to preach, and there's a man sitting there, had his Bible, and it was holding a garden rake. Who knows what will happen this week? You and I have to internalize. We have to take what is preached and like that elderly lady, rake it into our heart. Don't take a spiritual shovel and throw it over your shoulder. Take a spiritual rake and rake it in. By the way, also that letter I in the word revive, internalize, but I, that's me. I, that's you. The middle letter in the word revive is I. That's who needs revival. I need revival. You need revival. All in the word revival, the middle letter is the word I. Guess what? In the word pride, the middle letter is I. And can I throw one more at you? In the word sin, the middle letter is the letter I. And it is our sin of pride, oh my, that keeps us from internalizing what God wants to give us from His Word. Now, it may be a single scripture. It may be a statement. Boy, I'll tell you what, one of the things I love about this meeting is you're going to hear some great singing. And we're going to be blessed by the congregational singing and blessed by the special music. I mean, second to none. And it might be a scripture, it might be a statement, it might be a song, but I promise you, God has some things in these handful of days that, spiritually speaking, have my name on them, your name on them, all of our names on them, and we've got to take it in. There'll be things that'll come from this pulpit. I mean, you'll be on your way to service one night, and you'll say to your wife something, and she'll say something to you, and maybe a Bible question, I don't know, and it will be addressed from the Bible. How many times have you wanted to ask Dr. Lethe a question and said, "I'm going to ask him after service," and unbeknownst to him, he get up and preach the very thing that you needed? We've got to internalize. Number five, the letter V has to stand for vitalize. Number five, the letter V has to stand for vitalize. Psalm 18:29, "For by thee I've run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. A revival, hear me this morning, is a spiritual bowl of Wheaties. It's the breakfast of champions. They tell me, Dr. Lethley, that one good revival meeting is equivalent to either 3 or 6 months of spiritual growth. One good revival meeting. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a good deal. If we come to every service, we can add, we can tack on, we can put to our Christian life, oh my, either 3 to 6 months spiritual growth. Boy, revival is a vitamin. Revival is an energy drink. Revival is a B12 shot. Revival is that boost of blessing that all of us could desperately use in our individual Christian lives. Number 5, V, vitalize. And then number 6, and last of all, not only number 1, R, realize. Number 2, E, energize. Number 3, V, visualize. Number 4, I, internalize. Number 5, V, vitalize. But number 6, E, evangelize. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that when a soul's is wise. We can't have revival without evangelize. We can't have a spiritual awakening without having an awakening that you and I would be soul conscious, that you and I would go after lost sinners again, that you and I would have a burden for those that are lost. I love, Dr. Leakley, to think of new ways to pass out gospel tracts. And I've got several that are my favorites. Sometimes I'll say to someone, here's a short Bible study on salvation. Now listen, you'd have to be a heathen to say no to a Bible study on salvation. I mean, I think even Judas would take a track if you said to him, here's a short Bible study on salvation. Or I've said, this is probably my favorite one, here's some good news from the Bible. Everybody can use some good news. I, on the way here last night, Dr. Leathley texted me, and we exchanged texts while I was traveling, and he made mention that if I was going to get something to eat, he'd offered to take me out to eat, and I appreciate it, but I wanted to get to the room and rest a little bit. And so he said, if you're going to get something to eat, you better eat before Zanesville. And so right at Zanesville, I saw a sign that said A&W. And my taste buds, they did backflips and wind sprints. And I mean, my taste buds said amen right there when I saw A&W. So I pulled in, I got 2 footlongs and A&W diet root beer. Oh my goodness. I believe at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there's going to be A&W diet root beer. Now, if you don't believe that, doesn't matter. I'm teaching Sunday school right now, not you. And so I got 2 footlongs and no onions, extra cheese and mustard, extra chili. And I got an A&W root beer. And while they were putting that order together, it's a restaurant in a gas station, so I went over to the gas station and I got some crackers and I gave a young lady a gospel tract. Here's what I said. I said, here's some good news from the Bible. Everybody can use some good news. And she cheered up and she said, boy, I could. This is what she said, Dr. Leathley. Can I read it right now? I said, absolutely. She read it, came back to me, said that she'd asked the Lord to come into her heart, and then said, could you give me another one of these? Because my fiance, he needs this too. I was in Zanesville last night. I was leaving the motel, 2 ladies at the front desk. I walked over to them, and I said, you ladies have to work, so you can't go to church. I said, but let me give you some church, a little bit of church. And gave them both the gospel tract. It is rarely that I have someone reject a gospel tract. It's rare. And I promise you, if you'll be warm about it, if you'll be gracious about it, now don't stick a gospel tract up somebody's nose so far that you can read it through their eyeballs. That probably won't be all that effective. But if you're warm about it and you're genuine, and some good news from the Bible, Everybody gave some good news. Short Bible study on salvation. I was getting on a plane early one morning and had never said this before. Dr. Lethley had never thought about it. I mean, early morning flight, stepping on the plane, and the flight attendant said, "Sir, do you have your boarding pass?" I said, "Sure do." And I said, "I also have heaven's boarding pass." And I pulled out a gospel track. And while she was hearing it, I was hearing it. And she said, "Boy, I want one of those." So I gave her one. Then another flight attendant came down the aisle. She said, "If you're giving out heaven's boarding passes, I got to get one of those." So there was two. And then the pilot stepped out of the cockpit and said, "Sir, I got to have one of those." I gave out three gospel tracts. That's more than a Calvinist does in 50 years. I gave out three gospel tracts before I even got to my seat. E has to stand for evangelize. Always soul winning moves from the back burner to the front burner of the Christians and church's life when they have genuine, real, authentic revival. Look back at that word revive. Psalm 85:6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" R, realize. E, energize. V, visualize. I, internalize. V, vitalize. E, evangelize. And there they are, the ways that a believer can find biblical revival. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm not going to give an invitation as such, but I wonder who might lift their hand and say, "Preacher, that's what I want this week. That's what I want these days. I want revival." Hands are going up all over. I don't want this to be just another meeting. I don't want to be just another series of services. But I want revival. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that we'd follow this very simple outline. That we'd follow the letters that make up the word revive, and that we would have revival in our own hearts and lives. And Lord, I believe the preacher is spot on. We'll never have nationwide revival, statewide revival, churchwide revival, until we have individual revival. Lord, forgive us when we've looked at revival collectively, which we can have, but we've not looked at it personally, which begins with me and brothers and sisters. Thank you again for meeting with us this morning. Continue to move among us in the morning preaching service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.